they can join as they come along. Yeah, okay. Well, welcome everybody to this week's meeting by the Waltham Forest Socialist Workers Party. I'll just quickly run through the format of the meeting. First of all, we've got a 20-25 minute talk by John Mullen this week, who's a socialist based in France, and he's going to talk about fighting Macron's Thatcherite agenda in France, which will be absolutely brilliant. And the second half of the meeting will be given over to party business and activity. If you wish to speak, can you please raise your hand with the icon at the bottom of the screen, the bottom left-hand corner, under the list of participants during the discussion period. And I'll call you in the order you put your virtual hand up when we have a discussion after the talk. And there's also a chat facility should you wish to leave any comments throughout the meeting. And everybody will be muted basically until it's your turn to speak. So without further ado, I'll hand over to John.
Okay, well, can you hear me fine, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to be here. I myself joined the Socialist Workers Party in 1985. When I lived in Leeds, but a year and a half later I moved to France, and so I've been active here ever since. So I don't know how much you know about the situation in France, so I'm going to give you first of all some context from the last 20 years or so, and then I'll go on to today. What can Macron do now, and what can the working class do against him? Well, the big story is that for the last 25 years in France, since the great strikes of 1995, which saw the Paris Metro shut down for a month, there has been regular mass resistance to the rise of neoliberalism and austerity. When I talk to people in another country, I say, oh yeah, well, we had a demonstration last year, there are a million of us. I can say this every couple of years, whereas in many countries, like, you know, this is not so frequent. Now, sometimes we win. Just two examples. In 2006, a new law was passed instituting a special kind of work contract for young workers, the first job contract. And after dozens of universities and high schools were occupied, over a million people demonstrated, and finally an enormous strike involved 2 or 3 million strikers. President Chirac announced that the law was being withdrawn. And this was a victory which affected me tremendously, because usually, if you manage to really get a movement going before the law is passed, you might have some chance. Usually, when the law is actually voted and passed, it's too late to build a movement, but it can be done. A second example, in 2009, a government proposal to transform our elected university presidents fully into neoliberal managers was faced with months of well-organised and innovative lecturer strikes that I was involved in, and this law was defeated. One of my favourite actions in that movement was somebody came up with this idea of the springtime of the chairs, and we took all the chairs out of all the university buildings and put them outside and drew slogans with them to stop the non-strikers from being able to teach. So very, 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 there's been an atmosphere of creative class struggle frequently. I've only just given two examples. I could give five. And sometimes, of course, we lost. The Labour Law of 2016 under the Socialist Party government, which made it much easier for employers to sack people, which reduced payment for overtime hours. This law went through Parliament despite several demonstrations of over a million people between March and June that year, and despite mass strikes in rail, in the airports, in the oil refineries, in printing and electricities. Sometimes we lost. Quite often, the result of a conflict was neither really a victory nor really a defeat, because the government would get its law through, but then they would shelve important parts of their plans, of course, naturally, without announcing, you have defeated us, because that's not what they do. So the general result, in just a couple of symbolic statistics, fighting back works. The 1.6 million university students in France today pay between £200 and £300 a year in enrolment fees. This is not because the establishment and the ruling class don't want people to pay for their university education like you do in England. The think tanks are forever dreaming of introducing tuition fees, but the politicians dare not even suggest it. A second example, pensioner poverty in France is four times lower than in the UK. the fights about pensions, they actually work. That doesn't mean, of course, that they haven't taken things away from us, but we've been able to hold it back to some extent. Finally, according to a recent 2019 UK House of Commons briefing paper, French full-time employees work on average 3 hours less a week than they do in the UK. So although there have been serious attacks on working conditions and pensions, worker struggle has been able to protect us to some extent. And these movements have also shown a high level of class consciousness, not just a high level of combativity. During the fight back against Hollande's labour laws, that's the socialist president Hollande, most of the strikers were not personally affected. Many of the vicious new rules would apply only to future recruitments. So workers who already had a permanent contract or were a little older could have said to themselves, oh, thank God it doesn't affect me. And night after night on the television, expert commentators were wondering at why the strikes went on when so many strikers were not personally affected. TV commentators have a hard time figuring out class consciousness. On the political side, the effect of this high level of class struggle, the high level of class struggle has wrecked the political parties the ruling class had relied on for decades. First of all, President Sarkozy from the right pushed through, this is 2007-12, pushed through half of the neoliberal attacks he wanted to, and was then defeated in the 2012 elections by the socialist Hollande, the person from the Socialist Party, who was promising, and I quote, "My real opponent," said Hollande, "is the world of finance." People hoped Hollande would be different, but he forced through a detested anti-labour law, scrapping long-held protection for millions of workers. And when it came to the following elections in 2017, the Socialist Party was crushed. Hollande did not dare even to stand again. The candidate who did stand, Benoît Hamon, left the Socialist Party after the election to form his own new grouping. This is a real defeat. In the first round of the parliamentary elections in 2017, the Socialist Party, who were the outgoing government, got 7.4% of the votes. I've never seen this in any other country, so huge, yeah? They got 1.7 million votes for the Socialist Party. This was less than the 2.5 million votes obtained by the radical left movement, La France Insoumise, who we can talk about later if you wish. It was much less than the 3 million votes that went to the far-right National Front. And in all, the Socialist Party before these elections had 280 MPs, and after the elections they had 30 MPs. So this is where Macron comes in. Emmanuel Macron gathered together disappointed politicians of the right and hopeful careerists from the Socialist Party. And with his new grouping, La République En Marche, he got a clear majority in the parliament. And Macron's plan was full-spectrum Thatcherism. Whatever the cost, full-spectrum Thatcherism. He actually would say this in private. He wanted to radically weaken trade unions, cut benefits, take real power away from local government, privatise sections of public services, whatever the opposition. And even if he became the most unpopular and had no chance to be ever again to be elected, that didn't bother him too much. And he was prepared to ramp up police violence to the worst in Western Europe, if that would help. And we have seen over the last year or two, especially in the Yellow Vest movement, I don't obsessively follow police violence in every country, but a couple of dozen people lost eyes, 7 or 8 people lost hands, and my impression is not that this is happening in most European countries today. The resistance, in any case, to Macron was huge. The Yellow Vest movement mobilised areas of the country and parts of the population who were not used to mobilising. Every week, for over a year, Macron was humiliated by creative and popular protests. He was forced to make some concessions, not big ones, but not insignificant. He had to put a bit more money into the pockets of some of the poorer workers and pensioners. He had to release a few million euros for investment, which had been blocked for years. After the Yellow Vest movement, we got another attack and another huge movement, and now I'm just talking about 9 months ago. A new attack on pensions led to 7 enormous strike days, as well as groups of workers continuing to strike between the national strike days, with millions on the streets, and strikes in railways, education, manufacturing, hospitals. 70% of primary teachers out on some of the one-day strikes, 80% of train drivers and so on. And a remarkable level of organising from below. In a number of towns, in my town, for example, there were citywide joint strike committees which got together to coordinate strikes and protest independently of the union leadership. And the strikes were very popular. Twice as many people supported them as opposed to them, as were opposed to them. And even this was, the figures were even higher for the working class. Macron had to make a big concession. Instead of the vicious new pension rules applying to everyone born after 1963, the Prime Minister announced they would only apply to people born after 1975. That's quite a lot of people. Suddenly, a whole chunk of the strikers and demonstrators were not personally affected. The government hoped this would dampen down the movement. It didn't. The strikes in January were just as massive as the, and in late December were just as massive as the ones before. When the coronavirus crisis arrived, Macron shelved this pension reform. And I think this has to count as a victory for our side. If there had been no resistance, it would have been passed into law 6 months earlier. The coronavirus, so let's come to the last month or so, the coronavirus has killed 30,000 people in France. Like in Britain, they were late going into lockdown. They were disorganised about the testing and the masks and so on. Although I have to say, it's difficult to know how politically costly those mistakes will be. There's so much going on. It's not absolutely clear that Macron will pay for that. And indeed, unfortunately, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, at least we don't live under Johnson. Which, you know, is an understandable but not highly political way of looking at the world. It would have been far more in France without trade union resistance in many workplaces insisting on protection for workers and without teachers having managed to postpone the back-to-school move until last week. So what is Macron doing now? Macron has been announcing that we all need to learn, and he has been promising to change. But what we have mostly seen is huge amounts of money to prop up companies and considerably less help for ordinary workers, which doesn't mean that he hasn't had to give help to some ordinary workers. Already millions of people have been plunged into poverty. In my town, the Communist Party has been organising food banks. The France Insoumise has been only organising food banks, in addition to the traditional food banks organised by Catholics and Muslims and other people like that. It's not something which political organisations normally get involved with, but certainly in the atmosphere here, it seemed impossible to most activists not to get involved in the food banks because it was so, also it was very difficult to have rallies and demonstrations and things anyway, so it was important to be out there. Already then, millions of people plunged into poverty because so many temporary jobs have disappeared. My university, where I work, where I'm on the university council, and we were rummaging around university budgets, and we managed to find a couple of €100,000 to buy food for hungry students. So the situation's been pretty bad. Now there are likely to be many redundancies. The big aeronautic company Airbus is already threatening 15,000 redundancies, including 5,000 of its 49,000 employees in France. The government is borrowing billions of euros to prop up business and some to help workers. But in a few years, it will have to be paid back. That means more taxes for the rich or more suffering for the workers. No prizes for guessing what Macron is going to choose. He has already announced that he is not planning to raise taxes for the rich, even after having abolished last year an important wealth tax. His solution, he said in this week's big speech, we need to work more and produce more. I think he means us and not him. But he has to be careful. His government is under huge pressure. They have just announced €6 billion to increase wages for low-paid hospital staff. It's not as huge as it sounds. It's about £100 a month per worker. Nevertheless, it's a sound that Macron is under real pressure. And it's far from enough. There's no talk of increasing staffing levels in hospitals. There's no talk of investing in new hospitals. But it's a sign that Macron is under pressure. And why is he under pressure? Partly on the political side. A few days ago, we had the second round of the municipal elections. There were high abstention rates, but Macron's candidates did very badly indeed. There were major gains for the Greens, sub-small upturn for the Socialist Party, several losses for the Communists. And if we look at the fascists, who are now called the Rassemblement National, National Rally, they didn't like the word front anymore, it sounded too fascist. They didn't have good elections. Before the elections, they had 1,468 councillors across the country. Now they have 840. But they won control of a big town in the south, Perpignan, only the second time they've had control of a town with more than 100,000 inhabitants. And they also retained control of, I think, four other towns where they were already running the council. And elsewhere, of course, the votes for the fascists are still frighteningly high. 20% in Marseille, for example. I'd just like to say a couple of words about the fascists. They got 10 million votes in the second round of the presidential election. Terrifying. And yet, a lot of this is electoral. They cannot get more than a few thousand out on a demonstration. They're having great difficulty building local party networks, partly because they're too nervous frequently to campaign openly. But they have had a lot of success in persuading millions of people that they are no longer fascists. By significant sections of the right, they are now seen as potential partners because the big parties are so widely discredited. What else happened in the European elections? I only have a couple of minutes left. Well, one interesting detail is that in Bordeaux, a joint list led by Philippe Poutou of the New Anti-Capitalist Party and by Evelyne Descubes, a transport worker from the France Insoumise, got 12% in the first round and now have three city councillors. Otherwise, Macron is very worried about the Black Lives Matter movement. We have had enormous demonstrations against police violence led by recently built, I mean the last 10 years, new anti-racist networks built led by black people. These new anti-racist networks are very different from the rather dusty and extremely moderate semi-establishment anti-racist organisations of the past. There is a long way to go in France. Paris is covered with colonial statues and there's been almost no tradition of protest. But things are beginning to change a little. Macron is worried. Macron announced last week that no statues will be taken down. And he squealed about the dangers of communitarianism and black separatism. The campaign against police violence has also sparked off police demonstrations in front of the ministry, in front of radio station headquarters. This is far-right police unions organising small demonstrations of a couple of hundred people, but, you know, you don't really want the police demonstrating outside anywhere. And indeed, last year, they had a police demonstration outside the party headquarters of the France Insoumise. Between Macron's worries about the anti-racist revolt and the defeats at the municipal elections, Macron is looking for something which will boost his poll ratings. This week, he has been busy shuffling ministers and trumpeting out allegedly new proposals on the environment. But there is a lot of smoke and mirrors involved. He is proposing a referendum to decide to rewrite the constitution so that environmental concerns are included at the beginning of the clauses about French values. But the list of over 100 proposals which he recently approved on the environment do not mention nuclear power and are mostly a matter of, we will recommend that companies be obliged to produce an annual audit of this and that. But he is very unpopular, and in the 2 years he has left in his mandate, he needs to have some consensual proposals. So what about the vicious neoliberal reforms he shelved a few months back, including the pensions reform and attack on unemployment benefits? It's not yet clear if he dares to bring these proposals back into play. But the neoliberal law on universities is being pushed into Parliament in the autumn and should spark some resistance. Finally, what about the left? High levels of struggle do not automatically give rise to a healthy and powerful left alternative. You will be unsurprised to know. Especially in countries where a non-sectarian, interventionist, anti-capitalist left has not been as strong as we need to be. And of course, there are a lot of competing ideas as to what revolutionaries in France should do. Some revolutionaries are in the new anti-capitalist party, or one of two of the other organisations which have recently left it. Some, like myself, are working inside the France Insoumise, a radical left reformist party movement, not a party you can be a member of, which got 7 million votes on a Corbyn-like programme in 2017. So I hope I've given you a flavour of the state of the class struggle in France, and I'm going to leave the rest of the discussion and I'll come back with a few answers at the end. I should just say that if anybody should be interested in more, by a strange historical accident, most of my articles in England about France turn up on the Left Berlin website. Don't ask why, but they're up there if anybody wants to go and find them.
Okay, thank you very much, John. That was an excellent synthesis. And I'll just turn it over to the participants for any discussion or questions.